In the 1954 movie, for movie buffs, the movie is The Caine Mutiny, and it is a classic from the era. We see a U.S. Navy lieutenant commander who was promoted to the rank of captain of a minesweeper. That was a ship that would go and look for mines that had been laid. The name of the ship was the Caine, obviously, the Caine Mutiny. Over the years since this movie, the part of the story that is well known to most people, even if you haven't seen the movie, you may have heard the story or heard little snippets of the story, that the captain, who was portrayed by the late, great Humphrey Bogart, was considered insane, and that's kind of the crux of the story, and that he wasn't worthy of the loyalty of his senior officers, let alone the rest of the crew. And after a series of mishaps that the ship had undergone, including quite a storm, the senior officers on board chose to relieve the captain of his command, and this was during a very rough storm at sea. And then when they got back to home port, they were then subject to court-martial proceedings with the charge of mutiny, because it's pretty serious consequence to basically overthrow a captain at sea. It's something that is not done typically. So that was the story. And there's a lot of, you know, if you catch a YouTube snippet, you'll see the trial and Humphrey Bogart appearing to be very much insane. But the part of the story that's much less known and much less understood is that the captain, again, this is a story, but this was the story, that he had been through a major battle on a prior ship in a lesser rank as a junior officer and was suffering from battle fatigue and most likely what we would, in today's understanding, call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, again, it's just a movie, but the point is that the senior officers realize far too late, and with the help of one of the lawyers after the case is settled, that had they supported the captain at the critical time when they were in this storm, he likely would have come through the crisis, his crisis, their crisis, and been just fine. Instead, the officers did what most of us might do in our own lives at some point. They thought of themselves. That's what was going on. They were concerned about their careers. They were concerned about the captain, yes, but concerned about his impact on them rather than pulling together and trying to support him and trying to get through the crisis. In fact, the toughest officers in the military, in police, however, whatever role, supervisors, we've maybe been in that situation, I can tell you as a former city manager, they're only effective as they are as leaders, not as their rank or their title. People need to earn the right to lead and inspire loyalty in their team. Now, how often have each of us experienced this for yourselves? Either as a team leader in something you're working on at school, trying to do as a team, which isn't always easy, a meeting leader, or as a supervisor. If you cannot earn that respect and that loyalty as a person, you won't see that loyalty in the long run. As a baseball player, and this always gets me, as a baseball player, you need to get one hit in three at-bats, one hit in three at-bats, and you're a hero. So that 333 batting average, which is considered fabulous. If you can maintain that throughout the course of a season, wow, you're going to go in the record books. It's very difficult to do, and yet that's the standard. That's the standard to be considered a hero, someone worthy of maybe even being the team captain. In my own experience, I've both earned loyalty and I've failed to do that, personally and in my professional career. But perhaps my contract, if you think of the baseball analogy, my contract can be renewed and I can keep trying to improve. And I'm not making light of the situation in any way. But we all succeed and we fail in the human sphere. In the human sphere, we have consequences that we face for our actions. With God, if we're sincere in our repentance, we can continue to try to improve our batting average, improve how we're doing. We get that every day if we're sincere. We don't want to be repeat offenders. What about some biblical examples of loyalty, specifically loyalty? Let's think about Ruth. Her loyalty to her mother-in-law, Naomi, stands out as she refuses to leave even after her husband's death, and Naomi was urging her. She commits herself to God and to Naomi and stays with her. Think of Jonathan. Most people don't know who Jonathan was. He was King Saul's son, and he was serving right alongside King David, ultimately King David. King Saul sought several times to kill David, and Jonathan protected David from his father, the king, many times. And he recognized David's legitimacy for the throne, even at his own peril. In turn, David was equally loyal. After Jonathan's death, his son was given great royal treatment in David's court instead of being shunned, as former leaders might typically be due. Think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and of their situation in Babylon. Their steadfast loyalty to God led them to defy the king. And I love the book of Daniel. I love the way Daniel comports himself with such grace and dignity, such that the king is even impressed with him. But they're steadfast in their faith with God and not with the king. God rather than mankind. So consider the words of our Savior Jesus Christ in John 15:13. We know this one by heart, John 15:13. Greater love has one that he laid down his life for his friends. This is the words of our Savior. In his next few words, Jesus adds in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command." So fair enough. Again, consequence. Jesus is asking that we obey him in all that we do. We show that loyalty. And then what do we earn? We earn the friendship of Jesus Christ and that closeness with God the Father. There's a requirement, again, as well as a consequence, if we want to be friends with Jesus Christ. And I love that analogy of being friends with Jesus. We've often talked about that in our services, but I love that human connection that Jesus has with each of us. If we're called and if we obey, if we repent, because we are human and we're going to fail, we cannot be aloof and cold with Jesus. We know what he says. We must be passionate, not lukewarm, in our love and our obedience. And when we fail, we have to own it and move forward. Not one of us can claim a perfect record in that regard, and we know that, but we're given that grace by our Savior, Jesus Christ, and by God the Father to continue on. Consider Ruth's words and her love for her mother-in-law Naomi in chapter 1 and verse 16, the book of Ruth. To set the stage, Naomi was urging Ruth to return to her own people, the Moabites, following the death of Ruth's husband, who was Naomi's son. How did Ruth respond to this? In verse 16, we see, again, this is chapter 1, verse 16. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." This is loyalty. This is indeed loyalty and trust. I think that was an impressive illustration of loyalty from this great grandmother of King David and ancestor of Jesus Christ. She exemplified faith, loyalty, and great love for another, not herself. She put someone else above her, and she put God above all else. In the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only resounding I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And then continuing in verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And then, I'm jumping around a little bit, but continuing in verse 7, it, and we're talking about love, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But guess what? As humans, we do fail. That prior verse is often read at wedding ceremonies, wedding services. And it's appropriate and it's wonderful, but we don't always measure up to that. And what do? As humans, when we fail time and again, we have to pick ourselves up. We have to repent. All we can do is find out where we fouled up, do better. And sometimes we cannot fix our failures in a human sense, but we can learn and move forward. And God is always loyal to those he has called to repentance. We can improve in God's eyes and move forward and not repeat. He offers the hope and the love that we cannot survive without as true Christians. His love is the love that never fails. And he sent his son to pay our debt, so that he was able to forgive us and we can move forward. Finally, let's consider the words of Jesus himself in Matthew 6 and in verse 24, where he's offering the very best advice a person can receive, and this is directly from our master. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The entire chapter is full of Jesus Christ's wisdom for us to guide our lives by, and I really do recommend that you take a good read through that chapter. If we get so caught up in the social and economic parts of our lives, it's easy to lose our way. And this is something that is so easy for all of us to do because we live in this world and we have to make our way through this world. And we're blessed that we get to pull ourselves out one day a week to honor God with the Sabbath. But we can do more than that. We can obey him. If we wish to become as loyal to God as he and his son are with us, we have to keep this admonition in mind. We speak quite a lot about politicians and corruption and how lives are led. And the truth is that corruption stalks all parts of this world, all parts, all occupations, all ways of life in this human condition. I sometimes think of, he was a British reformer in the 16th century. His name is John Bradford. And yeah, I'm sure you've heard this quote, "There but for the grace of God goeth I." He was sitting in a prison. He was a reformer, so that maybe isn't too far from expectation. But as someone was being led away to an execution, he was heard to utter that comment. And that's true, that if we are called by God to repentance and to this way of life, we have to consider ourselves blessed each and every day, even though the trials come, and this is the season as we prepare for the Feast of Tabernacles that we are facing that, but we have God's mercy to guide us and the best example of loyalty we could ever find. So let's keep that in mind as we go forward.